And then Amari went to Buffalo.
I was going to say, then he ended up violating his parole. Unbelievably.
We went to see Watanejo.
Yeah.
Were they looking for him that hard?
This is why you couldn't get out all these years.
Was it the late 50s? I mean, hell. He was rehabilitated. He didn't do anything. What the hell are we talking about? Anyway, yeah.
You anything to not talk about this? Or the other thing?
We got Guardians folks here. You want to put the new rule in?
Yeah,
you go right on ahead.
So normally what we do in situations like these is we'll say, hey, before you get in on the Browns, you got to say something nice about the Guardians. But before we get to these Guardians calls, you have to say something bad about the Browns. Got to be fair.
It's true. Got to be fair. Oh, God. 20 minutes away. Todd Derry going to join us on the show. You know who's up? Going to be on the table soon. You got a third-round pick for Amari Cooper. You guys know what I'm thinking.
They're not trading him.
Okay.
They're not trading him.
We'll find out how Sunday goes.
No.
Okay. You sure? You sure?
I mean, how many first-round picks would it take?
Well, how many would you get? You'd at least get one. Can you find me anybody else on the roster who would get you a first-round pick? There's one guy who's off-limits to me, and that's Rodney McLeod.
Right? He's not going anywhere.
He's our leading scorer.
Yes.
He's our only offensive threat, even though he plays defense. And he's our co-host on Tuesdays. Not a chance. Nope. He ain't going nowhere. Everybody else, go ahead. Make your offer. Now, is Detroit going to make that offer for that guy, considering who works in that front office? I don't know. Going to let him take advantage of you? Oh, boy. Now, Brad Holmes is the general manager of that place, not the other guy. 216-474-0092. Who do you blame? Do you blame the Browns in this?
Yeah, I mean,
they are the organization. I mean, it's kind of an umbrella over everything. Like, yeah, the Bucs got to stop somewhere,
well,
so it stops
here.
With the Browns.
We're going to be honest. I mean, we this show, huge supporters of Amari Cooper. We have loved Amari Cooper. He's been terrible this year. And he also told people at the start of the year that maybe he didn't really practice. Maybe the work habit wasn't exactly where it used to be. Okay, I mean, those are red flags right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that has to do with the quarterback, and I know that's, God, it sounds like I'm letting him off the hook. It shouldn't be about the quarterback. It should be, hey, in a perfect world, you should show up to work every day and try to help the team. He did that last year pretty clearly. When he said the stuff about Flacco last year, I think it was pretty obvious how he felt
faith
about
multiplier.
Yeah. He didn't say that about number four.
And
he
guys,
said that about the guy who was off the couch and he had just met
for the very first time. I'll let you guys know. If I was hearing a bunch of great things about the quarterback right now, I would be more than willing to put it on Amari Cooper. There's been plenty of wide receivers who have showed their ass out the door in their previous teams, and he would just be another one. But if we're hearing the things that we're hearing, and we're hearing that there's starting to be a fracture in things there, then it's very, very, very hard. I will hold him accountable for the drops. I will hold him accountable for everything that you just said. He should be held accountable for that. But in the grand scheme of things, where does it start and where does it finish? It's going to start and finish with what you traded for and what you're not getting, which is top quality performance. And again, you can give me all the trades and how they fleece the Bills. The Bills have one opportunity in mind that they're thinking about. They're thinking about making a deep playoff run and hopefully getting past Kansas City and getting to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. We were supposed to have those aspirations. We are 1-5. We are 1-5.
You know, and look, Kenny, as wide receiver divas go, and people are starting to tell me, well, he's now been at four different places. Okay, but as diva wide receivers go, I think he has been kind of the least, for somebody as consistent as Amari Cooper has been over time.
Dealt with way worse.
He's been one of the easiest guys for a quarterback to work with over time. I mean, look at, by the way, Buffalo, Diggs. Diggs couldn't handle the success in Buffalo. Like, Buffalo was too good, and you were miserable there. Like, it shows you how hard it is to keep these guys happy. And I have to say, Amari Cooper's been pretty happy in Cleveland. Until he wasn't. Until this year. Well, why do we think that is? Maybe the Van Pelt stuff. Maybe he wasn't happy with the Van Pelt stuff. The fact that they overhauled the offense the way they had to.
Well, who's
and it's interesting
with,
now. We have Ken Dorsey.
Who all is happy
and
with
now
the Van
Buffalo
Pelt stuff?
Has Amari Cooper.
Yeah, who all is happy with the Van Pelt stuff? People keep telling me. They're coming up to me on the street, Tone, and say, we got to fire Ken Dorsey. For what? I don't know what he's really in charge of. So now you just want a pound of flesh, which if you want a pound of flesh, fine. But if you're just firing Ken Dorsey, I don't know exactly what role he has in this. All we know is that He was brought here, maybe even against Kevin's wishes, but that's a totally different conversation that I guarantee we'll probably have. I don't know. It's a day that's going to end in Y soon enough. So he was brought here. I don't know what he controls and what he doesn't. How much of the offense is his? And then there's some people who want Kevin Stefanski to just hand off the play calling to him out of spite. That's not nothing you can do, because if you actually trust yourself to make these decisions, then you're not going to give up what you trust yourself with and give it up to a guy who you don't trust. Because I can't just give up the play calling to a guy who got fired for it in his last place that he was at, and a team that's clearly trying to make the Super Bowl because they fired him and they traded for your wide receiver. 216-474-0092. Dave in Cleveland, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Hey, I heard something yesterday on the afternoon show about Andrew Berry. Nick was talking about Andrew Berry being safe and Kevin Stefanski being safe, and he doesn't think they're just cleaning house. They're just getting rid of a bad apple or whatever.
Well, Nick said it was addition by subtraction.
I think of all the takes.
By the way,
he said what?
Nick was right. I'll give Nick credit, because 2 weeks ago he was talking about trading Amari Cooper, and I'm like, they're not trading Amari Cooper. Nope, Nick was right on that. I just don't think if they think the Browns are going to be a better football team because they traded Amari Cooper.
Well, I agreed with Nick that they trade Amari Cooper. I said he'd be gone definitely by Thanksgiving was the earliest holiday I could think of. I thought he'd be gone by the trade deadline. Stay with us here, Dave. But addition by subtraction, I didn't hear that. I disagree with that, but I'm only hearing from what you said. Go ahead, Dave.
Absolutely. I disagree, too. But I'm giving Haslam credit. You know, I think he's probably – I'm hoping he told Barry, hey, you swung for the fences with Deshaun, and unfortunately, your job's on the line, and now it's gone because this guy did not work out for us. So I think I'm hoping Haslam finally got some cojones and said, hey, I'll give you a good recommendation or whatever. I'm sure you'll find another job, but you're going to help me for messing up my team this last 3 years, and you're going to get rid of players, give me my draft picks back, and you're done at the end of the season regardless. Maybe Stefanski would stay, but Barry, I hope he goes, but I'm hoping this is what Haslam's doing, and he's saying, let's not clean house, but get rid of the bad apples or the ones that maybe we can get something out of, and hopefully next year, you know, it's not that bad of a rebuilding year.
Well, I keep telling Dave, that's you know how it doesn't become that bad of a rebuilding year is if you take a quarterback in the first round, because that's someone people can get behind. And that might seem to be ridiculous and irresponsible, but every team that's looking for a quarterback is desperate for a quarterback. And so that's the only one that they can afford that people can get behind. But I've said that so much already, and I'll continue to say that until the cows come home. Go ahead, Dave.
Will you guys maybe think about that scenario? I mean, is that just not a scenario because you guys are the scenario of Haslam saying, hey, Barry, you know, fix my team before you're fired. I'll tell you right now, you're fired.
Well, let me add this to it, Dave. Thank you very much for the call. Like, Lyman and I have been lockstep on this. And people believe, guys, you believe what you want to believe, and ultimately the ownership group is where the buck stops there as well. So you can blame ownership all you want because they're owners, and that's what they're there for. Lyman and I have said this steadfastly over the last 2.5 years now, is that ownership loved Baker Mayfield, and they needed to be sold on this idea. And over the year, because of the broken shoulder, they were more and more sold on the idea. Because Lyman, you knew around this time, 3 years ago, was it 3 years ago or 4 years ago? No, I lose time. That there was already some, you had some people saying that there was already some people looking around in certain parts of the country about possibilities of replacement. You remember that. This is where I'd be thinking now. Ownership, if ownership had to be sold on, which there's definitely people who are going to stand on the other side and will never know, and there's no reason for them to confirm or disconfirm whether or not, because it ain't going to make them look good and they can't say anything right now because they're in the middle of a season and you have to see this thing through as best you can. But if they had to be sold on this entire idea of going after Deshaun Watson, and they really, really like Baker Mayfield, which I know they did, how do you think they feel right now that every single time they turn on the television, they're seeing their former quarterback looking good in the place that he's playing in now, and that everybody's ripping you for moving on from that quarterback, whether it's right or wrong, whether we're rewriting history or not? Like Dan Orlovsky saying all this stuff, I don't know. That guy moves as well as the wind blows. I don't know. But you got people who are definitely doing revisionist history here. Doesn't matter to you, because for him, he may be thinking, I finally got my quarterback and I let somebody talk me out of it. And now look where we're at. And then you couldn't bring back Joe Flacco for all the reasons we specified over and over and over again. Even though it's wrong for football reasons, it's all
this
there.
Important.
Because
this
you've
important
made
point.
Such an incredible investment that you have to continue to dig
we
through.
We remember how the love affair in this city with Baker Mayfield. And the owner was part of that love affair.
Yes.
And understandably so. Baker had had these great moments and had seemingly helped rescue the Browns from the depths of despair. And was everywhere. Was everywhere. And the fans were loving Baker Mayfield. So Haslam absolutely got caught up in that, right? So what changed? What changed? Obviously, the injury to Baker and trying to play through it. But I imagine it took some coaxing from the front office and maybe the coach, and we'll probably start to find out more about that, to get the owner off of Baker. So it all starts there, right?
Yeah.
And if you have your top lieutenants, you have your hierarchy, your front office coming to you and saying, hey, here's what's going on behind the scenes. Here's what's going on in the locker room. He's probably already knew about Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad and the videos. So all this stuff starts happening. And the owner says, fine, convince me. Convince me that we need to move off of him before we decide to move off of him. And they did. And they brought forward that plan of attack. Now it's also, convince me to go after that guy. And that had to happen. That had to happen. There's no way that the owner signs off on all that unless he is completely talked into it.
Yeah. And he'll never convince me otherwise.
And so what does it mean for those people and their jobs?
Guys, Lyman and I agree on 3% of issues across the board. We agree on this. it's just that simple. They love the guy. And right now, the guy that they loved is doing really well. And the guy that they've traded for is not doing very well. And again, we still got a few months left in this season.